Land of Light.
In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the 97th weekly episode of this series, Land of Light. Today we dwell on the events that led to the Battle of Badr, the first armed encounter imposed by the pagan Arabs of Mecca, on Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, following the strengthening of Islam and Muslims in Medina. Stay with us, please. It is a well-known fact that during the first 18 months after Hijra, the Prophet and the Muslims were under constant threat of war from their enemies, the pagan Arabs of Mecca, who decided on a major invasion of Medina. According to the Holy Quran, this battle was purely ideological. It took place because the pagan Arabs of Mecca wanted to eradicate Islam and destroy Muslims once and for all, while Almighty Allah willed the triumph of truth and exposure of the roots of falsehood. That is why the day of the Battle of Badr was called the Day of Al-Furqan. It means criterion that determines what the truth is. Thus, before starting the Battle of Badr, the pagans led by Abu Jahl and Abu Sufyan, the archenemies of Islam, started confiscating the properties of the Muslims who had migrated from Mecca to Medina. Abdullah, son of Jahsh, whose mother Umama was the Prophet's paternal aunt, was one of the Muslim migrants in Medina, whose belongings in Mecca were looted by leading Arab polytheists. Abdullah, son of Jahsh, says,
I had a house in Mecca, which I locked before migrating to Medina. A few days after our departure from Mecca, Abu Sufyan criminally broke the locks, destroying whatever he found in the house, similar to looters and bandits, and ultimately he sold the house. Upon hearing this news, I approached and informed the Prophet of this matter. The Prophet smiled and addressed me.
Aren't you gladdened to find out that instead of your house in Mecca, God will grant you a house in heaven?
I am indeed glad, but I remain resentful towards Abu Sufyan.
Meanwhile in Mecca, after looting the properties of the Muslims, the pagan Arabs prepared a force of well-equipped 1,000 men on the pretext of escorting a trade caravan to Syria, but with the purpose of staging a surprise attack on Medina to kill the Muslims and the Prophet. Abu Jahl says,
Let us recruit brigands from the tribes of Najd because of their reputation for looting, plundering and killing. The Najdis, who like us are idol worshippers, will be all too happy to attack Medina and pillage the city.
Abu Sufyan says,
A good idea. Meanwhile, I will lead the contingent disguised as a trade caravan so as not to give the impression of our plan to attack Medina.
Thus, as is clear, the pagan Arabs made elaborate preparations for the attack on Medina. A man called Zamzam was sent far in advance, according to the prior plan, not because of any danger from Muslims. The protection of caravan was just a cover. That is why troops were recruited from the Banu Salim and Banu Qatfan clans of the Najd, an area where a millennium later would see the rise of the heretical Wahhabi and the attack on Islam's holiest sites in Mecca and Medina by the Al Saud clan. Thus, the Arabs came out clearly and determinedly to destroy Islam and the way of life of Muslims. The Prophet, on learning of the approach of the pagan Arab army, disguised as traitors, mobilized the Muslims and exhorted them to take whatever meager arms they had in order to defend their faith, life, and honor. Hence, it was a critical moment to determine which ideology was going to survive and flourish. The Prophet of Islam addressed Muslims, saying,
"The Meccan convoy is approaching, so prepare yourselves. We should leave Medina and confront them."
A group of Muslims said,
"We do not have enough possibilities and troops."
"That's right, so how can we fight?"
Miqdad, son of Aswad, said,
"We should not be like the Israelites who, whilst preferring to sit comfortably at home, told Prophet Moses that you go for fighting. We are Muslims and we should obey whatever we are commanded by Prophet Muhammad."
The Prophet, who knew the path the pagan army would take to stage their surprise attack on Medina, sent some of the Muslims up to the Badr Valley to watch and report to him. The Prophet told his brave young cousin, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, to eye the surroundings up until the proximity of water wells in the company of two other Muslim migrants. The three of them approached the scene, spotting two servants drawing water from the wells and filling them in large containers hanging by the sides of two camels. They decided to take the two to Muslim camp before the Prophet of Islam. The Prophet asked,
"To whom were you taking the water containers?"
"For members of the Quraysh clan."
"Where are the Quraysh encampments?"
"They're in the plain on the other side of the mountain."
"How many people are there in the Quraysh encampment?"
"We do not know."
"How many camels are slaughtered in your camp every day to feed the whole encampment?"
"About 10 camels a day."
"In this case, they should be around 1,000 men."
The two groups, one which was comprised of Muslims of Medina and the other one consisted of Meccan polytheists, had reached the proximity of each other in Badr Valley. The fact that the Muslims had left Medina to confront the army is also clearly indicated by ayahs 5 and 6 of Surah Anfal, where God Almighty, pointing to the initial reluctance of a group of the Prophet's companions, says, "As your Lord brought you out from your home for a just cause, some of the believers were indeed reluctant. They disputed with you concerning the truth after it had become clear, as if they were being driven towards death as they looked on." The Prophet said,
"God has promised victory and He has revealed ayahs to me of divine help to vanquish the fully armed pagan Arabs."
A group of true believers said,
"We are with you, O Messenger of Allah,
and will do as you say."
The tactics of the pagan Arabs on the eve of the fighting show that the Battle of Badr was one of those situations where people are fired up to fight against the Muslims through dramatization and lies. It also shows that the tactics of the infidels never change. Whether it is the Pharaoh of Egypt or the Abu Jahl and Abu Sufyan of Mecca, or a tyrant of our era, their mentality and tactics remain the same. They use lies and false propaganda about an imminent danger, retaliation, or preemption to fool people and convince them to participate in and support the illegitimate and unjust wars of aggression. Umayyah, son of Khalaf, who was one of the chiefs of Quraysh, did not wish, for some reasons, to participate in this battle and had been told of the Prophet's prophecy that Umayyah shall be killed at the hands of Muslims. The pagan Arabs, however, felt that the absence of such an important person from the battlefield would certainly be harmful for their cause. While Umayyah was sitting near the Kaaba with some other persons, two men who had volunteered to fight against the Prophet came and placed a tray and a collyrium box before him, saying,
"O Umayyah, now that you have declined to defend your land, wealth, and trade, and have chosen to lead a secluded life like women instead of fighting on the war front, it is only proper that you should apply collyrium to your eyes like women, and your name should be struck off the list of brave men."
This taunt had such a great effect on Umayyah that he immediately collected the provisions for his journey and proceeded along with Quraysh to safeguard the caravan. Badr is about 90 miles from Medina. The Muslims reached Badr on 16th of Ramadan, where the pagan Arabs had already camped. In all campaigns, procurement of information is the first step towards victory. Unless the commander of an army is aware of the strength of the enemies, the point of their centralization, and the morale of their soldiers, it is very likely that he may be defeated in the very first encounter. One of the praiseworthy policies adopted by the Prophet in all the battles, the details of which will be given later, was that he used to collect information about the strength of the enemy and his location. And even till today, the question of procurement of information enjoys great importance in global as well as local wars. Dear listeners, do not forget to tune in next week to listen to the rest of the story. God bless you and goodbye.